You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of The Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt, a special draft insights, draft reactions, at least to the first round edition of The Business of Sports. We're produced by Jack Connell, music producer. That music you hear under me is Sam Brandt, my son, at Boy Blue Tunes on Spotify. Check it out. And check me out on the Sunday 7, the Sports Business League. I give you a newsletter. I give you daily videos and insights like you get here. Just go to sunday7.com, sportsbusinessleague.com. You can sign up for a low-cost subscription model to give you all my insights. And again, I hope you share this podcast with a friend. This is a unique podcast in the space. And I want you all to enjoy it and tell your friends. All right, let's get to it. First round of the NFL draft is complete. As we record this midday on Friday, April 26, we prepare for the second and the third round tonight, rounds 4 through 7 plus undrafteds tomorrow. Before we get into reaction, let me just tell you how this works. This is people say marathon, not a sprint. I don't even know if you'd say that. This is a 100-mile ultra marathon, not a marathon. Because think about these drafts. You know, back in my day, I sound like an old guy. We started on Saturday morning and went all day Saturday, and I think we went 1 through 3 on Saturday and 4 through 7 on Sunday. Now it's even more spread out. Thursday night to get the primetime audience, we'll have whatever, 12 million people watch the reading of names last night by Roger Goodell. Friday night, all night, second and third round. Saturday is where the real work is done. It's almost like golf, where driving for show, which is probably Thursday night, a little bit of Friday night, and then putting for dough is the real work, where general managers, front offices, scouting staffs really separate themselves on Saturday. That's the work. That's where you come out with these golden gems in the 4th through 7th round. A lot of these players aren't going to make your team. A lot of these players aren't going to make it past a year or two. But if you hit in rounds 4 through 7, you have extraordinary value, even if those guys are contributing a little bit. And of course, you have your infrastructure of your team that's developing for the future. So that's the real money makers. That's the real separator, differentiator of draft weekend is Saturday. And a lot of you that may be listening to this on Saturday, where teams are not only signing or drafting rounds 4 through 7, but they're signing the undrafteds. And I've talked about this many times. You get done with the draft, even an hour, 2 hours before the end of the draft, the teams are reaching out to agents of all these players that they think won't get drafted. And those players are reaching out to teams. You're not supposed to. No one's ever enforced that rule. And the recruiting has begun, because these will be undrafted players. And you're going to recruit with money, but you're also going to recruit with opportunity. And you're going to sell things like we did at the Packers. Hey, we had this player make it undrafted, or that player make it undrafted. We didn't take a running back. We only took one running back. We need a running back. You know, and you look around, and if you're an undrafted player, a lineman, where they've taken 3 offensive linemen in the draft, probably not a good thing. But you have to see what your options are. I tell the stories all the time about undrafted. 3 quick stories. You know them all. Number one, I remember signing this kid, signed him, saw the list from the Eagles the next day. He's on that list. Saw the list from the Cardinals the next day. He's on that list too. I'm like, hey, dude, I see you on 3 different lists. He goes, oh, I thought I could just try out each team and then pick one. I'm like, no, you can't do that. Pick one. So he picked the Cardinals, never made it. Second story, 2003 draft, end of the draft. Maybe it was 2004. End of the draft. We're sitting around in the chaos, talking to agents, talking to players, trying to sign our undrafted group of 10 to 12 players, whatever it may be. One of our scouts yells out right in front of me, right in my ear, hey, anybody want to sign this kid, Romo, R-O-M-O? He's from Wisconsin. He loves bread. Someone yells out, where's he from? Like, whatever, Eastern Illinois. And then there was quicker. crickets. Nobody wanted to sign Romo. Who the hell is that? We signed some backup quarterback no one ever heard of, never lasted. Anyway, Romo went on. I often think about if we signed Romo and he showed signs, would we have drafted Rodgers in the first round that next year? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, and the third story that I've told so many that so many love, and I'll tweet it out on Saturday as always. Talked to a kid. He didn't have an agent. We're wrangling around. He doesn't really get it. I said, listen, we're gonna give you $1,000 bonus. I think I phrased it this way. Hey, listen, here's the deal. $1,000 bonus, 3-year minimum salaries. You come here and we start on Friday with rookie minicamp. And he said to me, and this is no joke, he said, Mr. Brandt, I only have 200 now, but I can bring the other 800 when I get there. I was dumbfounded. I actually kind of, everyone looked at me because I just had my mouth agape in the draft room. And I said, no, we pay you. We pay you $1,000. He said, really? I said, yes. The bonus is for you, not for us. So anyway, that's a story that'll get back to it. Now we get back to, so again, my point on the draft is it's a 3-day ultra marathon. It's not just a marathon. I tell teams if they ask, pace yourself. These are vast and vast amounts of inactivity punctuated by little bursts of activity here and there. So just pace yourself. This will take a while. I know I gained weight. Everyone gains weight because you sit around all weekend and you eat. You eat a lot because you're killing time. You're killing time. It's just a long, long horse race. Anyway, back to the first round. Defining characteristic of this year's first round is 12 out of the first 12 picks, 6 quarterbacks. Not 6 quarterbacks in the first round, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. Half of the first 12 picks are quarterbacks. And you know them all. Caleb Williams, let's talk about him for a second. Caleb Williams, you remember all the noise, all the nonsense coming out about him over the last 12 months. And again, it's been known he's going to be the first pick probably that whole time. Caleb Williams' nonsense included, hey, he's going to stay at USC and get a big NIL package. Yeah, please. Hey, he's going to demand equity in a contract when he comes in the NFL, not just a standard rookie contract. Please. Hey, he doesn't want to play for the Bears. He's going to wrangle his way out of the Bears to play for someone else. Just like Eli Manning, he's going to do one of those. Please. What do we see? He's drafted first by the Bears. He's excited to be drafted by the Bears. We haven't heard about USC. We haven't heard about equity. He'll sign a standard rookie contract to pay him a lot of money, but it's predetermined. And speaking of predetermined, he, along with fourth overall pick, Marvin Harrison, are going into this rookie contract negotiation without an agent. Can they do that? Yes. Are they going to miss out on a couple things? Maybe. Are they going to miss out on any money? No. Because the moment they're drafted, we know, you know, I know, they know, that what they're going to make out of this 4-year contract is exactly predetermined. They know the bonus. They know the total value. The only things negotiable in these rookie contracts, which they may need an agent or advisor or attorney for, is language, which is very important. What's the language on voiding guarantees? What's the language on morals clauses? What's the language on forfeiture? These are worst case scenario languages where lawyers do come in handy. And the bonus payout, because there's no mandatory bonus payout in the CBA. So they could be paid if they're getting a $25 million bonus. How is it paid out? Agents, of course, and players want it right away. Teams want to defer it. So that's going to be a negotiation in itself. And maybe they lose something not having an agent there. But I'm told that both of them, Williams and Harrison, will have advisors, if not agents, and they'll save a massive agent fee. They'll save it. Do they need agents for the second contract? I would say absolutely. For the first contract, an advisor attorney is probably enough to get that language figured out and to work on the bonus payout because the money is known. People are tweeting it out. I used to do this. I don't do it anymore. Tweeting out exactly what they're going to make the moment they're picked. Okay, that's the Caleb Williams story. Speaking of Caleb Williams, he went 1, and number 3 pick was Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina, going to the Patriots. Now, we're in 2024. Remember way back in 2021? Well, that was when the Bears and Patriots drafted their faces and quarterbacks of the future, last time. Okay, so here we go. Caleb Williams in 24, Justin Fields in 21, Drake May in 24, Mac Jones in 21. Mac Jones shipped out for a low-round pick to Jacksonville. Justin Fields shipped out for a ham sandwich to Pittsburgh. This is how it happens. In that 2021 draft was also Trey Lance, shipped out from San Francisco after they traded two number ones to get up and get him, to Dallas for a fourth. Also in that draft, Zach Wilson, shipped out just last week for less than a ham sandwich to the Broncos. This is what happens. So these six teams, they are the Commanders, the Bears, the Patriots, the Broncos, Bo Nix, the Falcons, Michael Penix, talk more about him in a minute, and J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings. They hope, they pray, they trust that this 2024 class will be a lot better than the 2021 class and maybe approach the 2020 class that had Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua, and Jalen Hurts in the second round. So, and Jordan Love, of course, and Jordan Love late in the first round. So, yeah, I mean, these things change. Six quarterbacks, the chances are half of them won't be that good. The chances are. So, again, it's an inexact science. Every time I think about scouting in the NFL, I think about all the man hours and thousands of man hours spent on finding these players in the draft. Well, still an inexact science. We'll see. We'll see what these quarterbacks do. And now we get to the most intriguing pick of the draft, a quarterback I just mentioned. The Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr. from Washington, who played many years at Indiana before Washington, as the eighth overall pick. They have signed Kirk Cousins to the most impressive free agent contract in 2024. So the most talked about free agent signing at quarterback this year, Kirk Cousins. The most talked about quarterback drafting in 2024, Michael Penix. They're on the same team. Okay. Only one quarterback plays unless you've been living under a rock and never watched football. So here's the problem. Well, let me say, my first reaction to this, my initial reaction was that, oh, this is the Packer way. This is what I'm used to. We took Aaron Rodgers when we had Brett Favre. I wasn't there, Jordan Love when they had Aaron Rodgers. This is the Packer way. It certainly has worked out. Look at Rodgers. Look at how great Love was this year. And Love will get a huge contract now. So I'm like, okay, great. Then I think about it overnight and I'm like, no. This is not the Packer way at all. Here are the differences. Love and Rodgers were drafted in the 20s, late in the first round. Penix, number eight. Number eight. Favre and Rodgers, when their understudies were drafted, had been on the Packers, what, 14, 15, 16, 17 years? Kirk Cousins has been on the Falcons a minute, has never played a snap, right? Has never played a snap for the Falcons. So this is not like the Packer way. Now, let's talk about finances. Penix will sign a four-year contract, whatever it is, $20-something million, fifth-year option. Kirk Cousins has 2 years guaranteed, $90 million, with leftover $10 million in the third year. So basically, he's there for $90 million, let's say $100 million. $10 million is going to be offset if and when he signs in the third year. But you're looking at this, I'm looking at this as an expert in the industry, I'm saying he's gone. He's gone. Once that guarantee runs out, it's Penix is the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. They probably would want to move to the future earlier, I'm guessing, now that they made this pick in the top 10. But they're going to pay Cousins that money and not play him? Of course. So this sets up as, okay, Kirk Cousins, 2 years, $100 million, let's go to Penix. That's it. Now, how do you think about that? Well, if you're Kirk Cousins, who's in my Business of Sports Hall of Fame, an inaugural inductee in 2021, he's made $300 million. He's now guaranteed another $100 million. He's going to make $400 million in his career. He may move to bust status, like not the bust, the bust of physical bust sculpture at the Hall of Fame, along with Sam Bradford. But wow. He's going to make $100 million in the next 2 years. then he's going to be shipped out, probably to the Jets, right? The Jets take these quarterbacks that come out of these situations like Favre, Rodgers, and I'm sure Cousins. And then Phoenix takes over. So, okay, the Falcons are telegraphing that to us, but what about Cousins? Now, I know you don't feel too bad for Cousins. He's going to make $400 million in the next, by the time he's done with the next 2 years, but come on. He was sold big time in free agency. What did they tell him? What did they tell him? And if they told him, oh, you're our guy, not just this year, not just next year, for the rest of your career, which they hope to be into his 40s, like a lot of these quarterbacks, how does he feel about the Falcons now? You know, he's going to go in and lead the team, be the face of the team for the next 2 years, but the face of the team is right behind him. And I think about what Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have said about this situation. I managed this for 3 years with Brett and Aaron, which is Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now Kirk Cousins are going to go into, is going into work every day, into work, and going to that quarterback room and sitting right next to his replacement. Brett Favre's agent called me all the time. Andrew, you know what it's like to walk into work every day and sit next to your replacement? That sucks. I'm sure Aaron felt that with Jordan. Now Kirk's got to deal with that for 2 years before he's shipped out. Okay, so listen, again, no one feels bad for Kirk Cousins because he's masterful at business and look at the money he's made, but he didn't sign up for this. He didn't sign up for this. Okay, that was the big story out of round one. Listen, I'm not a scout. You know, my Packers, people are like, why didn't we take Cooper DeJean? Why didn't we take a corner? Listen, with the Packers and some of these teams, trust the scouting. Trust it. I know I have a lot of Packer fans that listen. Trust them. They say this tackle out of Arizona has got it. Yeah, I trust them. Look what they've done. Jordan Love, all these receivers last year, the tight ends, the receivers in the late rounds, trust them. Trust them. Who is this guy? Bo Melton, Dontavio Wicks. Who are the Jaden Reed? Yeah, trust him. Some teams you just trust. I'm not a scout. You know, I'm not a mock drafter. Plenty of those, but trust the people doing it. Now, some teams, maybe their fans don't trust, but we'll see. That's why these grades are ridiculous right after the draft. I mean, we'll see. Okay. We'll follow the draft, have more impressions next week. A couple things. I mentioned the draft class of 2021. Zach Wilson finally traded this week for, I don't know, like they traded a sixth for a seventh. It was, you know, it's a true ham sandwich trade. And here's the kicker. He had 5.5 million guaranteed. The Broncos will pay half of that upon acquiring him, 2.75. Guess who pays the other half? The Jets. So the Jets are paying him 2.75 million to go away and play for someone else, whether it be the Broncos, whoever, they're done. So again, they tried like heck to replace him last year, recruiting, signing, trading for Aaron Rodgers, committed $75 million, committed 2 second-round picks. One's going to be early in the draft tonight by the Packers. And they had to go back to him because Aaron got hurt. They kept going to other people, Tim Boyle, whoever else they could put in there. And now they get rid of him. A failed, failed experiment. You know, this New York harsh media, I hear about that. I don't get it. Seems like there was not a lot of harsh media about the Zach Wilson disaster. And I remember that combine. He threw some 60-yard pass on air that was beautiful. I hope that wasn't the kicker why they drafted him number two overall. And like I said, Jets will play with Aaron the next 2 years, they hope, and then they'll trade for Kirk Cousins. Mark it. Okay, other things. Eagles, huge extensions for Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. I haven't seen them, so I can't comment with full dexterity about these deals. I'll do that next week. But one thing I know, you know, when these deals are flashed out there, big money, huge money, Eagles are not giving away player-friendly deals. Okay, I know the Eagles. I know the deals they do. These are not player-friendly deals. Eagles do deals, they're team friendly. And then now I hear there are about multiple options. And the one thing to note about A.J. Brown, the extension, A.J. Brown's got a lot of years left. I don't know what he had, 3 years left? So let's say 3 years left, I think the number was $68 million. And I think the new number with the extension is $81 million. So again, I'll clear this up next week when I see the full deal, but that's $13 million basically. Now, taking a free $13 million, sure. No slouch for that. But the Eagles get extra years on that with that. So it's not what it appears to be. Like all these contracts, they are not what they appear to be. Please know that. Okay. Last thing is NBA draft, NBA media rights. We are in the NBA playoffs. I'm a huge Sixers fan. Speaking to you the morning after Joel Embiid on one leg with one eye scores 50 on the Knicks. I pick the Sixers when they're down 2-0 to the Knicks. We'll see. The interesting thing is we're in the last year of the NBA media rights deal with TNT and ESPN. It's been a $24 billion deal over 9 years. The NBA is poised to double that, maybe triple it. That's their goal. I know they're not going to get anything like the NFL getting $110 billion, but I would think the NBA would get between $50 and $75 billion in their next media rights deal. That's strong. Wow. That's going to be strong. So no more $25 billion a year. And it's not just going to be TNT and ESPN whose exclusive negotiating rights expired on Monday. I would think Amazon's going to be involved, trying to do a night where they own the NBA like they own Thursday night with the NFL. I would expect Amazon involved. And we hear a lot about NBC and Peacock. NBC, when in my youth, they were the home of the NBA. I see that coming back. So more suitors equals more bidders equals more options equals more money for the NBA. These are golden times for the NBA, even with the expected decline and out and exit in the next few years of LeBron and Steph Curry and others. There are stars coming up all over in the NBA. It's a revelation watching these playoffs with stars like Anthony Edwards and Paolo Banchero and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. There's always good young players coming up. Tyrese Maxey, oh my God, Tyrese Halliburton. So they're everywhere. So the NBA is in good hands. And in the business of sports, we have to talk about the next huge media rights deal now that the NFL is locked up for 10 more years, 9 more years. It's going to be the NBA and it's going to be soon. I would think this summer. So look out for no longer $24 million, probably more than $50 million. Maybe we won't reach the billion that we're talking about, but look out for that. Okay. Those are my notes. What a night it was in the NFL draft. We'll follow second and third round. These are hugely important picks tonight. And as I said, the most important day of the draft is tomorrow, Saturday. While no one's paying attention, very few people know any of these players. These are going to be the infrastructure of these teams going forward for the next 2, 4, 5, 6 years. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the hope it creates. And enjoy the NBA playoffs until next week. Thanks to Jack Connell. Thanks to music producer Sam Brandt. I'm going to be doing these reels on Instagram, Andrew Brandt 2. If you want to support the podcast, go to Andrew-Brandt-20 on Venmo. And of course, leave us a rating. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, wherever you hear your podcasts. And I always appreciate reading your comments. You can directly message me with any feedback at Andrew@Andrew-Brandt.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy the weather. Talk to you next week with another edition of the Business of Sports with Andrew Brandt.